Now that you're here, Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible. Now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we love you, O God, with all our heart. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to step aside from our being and allow your Holy Spirit to be the ears that we would hear with today, the mouth that we would speak with, the hands that we would do with. Help us, Father, as we enter into the resurrection season, to be ready for that resurrection time, knowing that the resurrection is already in us. You who are the resurrection and the life. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall manifest in his true nature, so shall we also manifest in our true nature along him in the same glory, the same doxa, with the same opinions, the same values, and the same judgment. Father, we ask that your presence would be among us today. Lord, we believe that you are here. And Lord, we ask that not only is your divine presence with us, but Father, may we know it with certainty, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Let's bow our heads one more time, and let's pray for Sister Roper. I think she may be having her baby this morning. They're not here, and she's due around this time, I believe it is. Am I correct on that? I think the 8th, 7th or 8th, so, and today is the 7th. So let's... We'll just ask for a wonderful delivery. Let's bow our heads again. Father, we just pray for Sister Elizabeth and the whole family, Lord. They're expecting a little child, a little son. And Father, we ask that you would be with her pregnancy and be with the delivery, O God. And we ask that you would give her a wonderful delivery. And may it be run just very smoothly. May the baby be fully there, Lord, all the fingers and toes and all the things that a baby should have, the little hair on the head and everything, Father. We just pray that the baby would be just perfectly fine in your eyes and in the eyes of man. And so, Lord, we just commit the delivery into thy keeping. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This morning we're going to continue at paragraph number 4 of Brother Branham's sermon, What the Holy Ghost Was Given For. And our subject will be the omniscience of God, taken from a statement Brother Branham makes in this paragraph that we're going to read for our text. And now tonight, before we read the scriptures, let us bow our heads just a moment for prayer. And just before we pray, you with your heads bowed, would you have a request? Just raise your hands and say, God, I solemnly raise my hands. I have a need. And I pray that you'll help me, O Lord. God bless each of you. He sees your hands. The angels have taken your request down. Now, it may seem like a very simple statement that the prophet made, but what I want to do is look at this thought that he lays out here, he sees your hands, because Brother Branham is making a statement here that God sees your hands that are raised up, and we can go a step further and show you by a dozen or more quotes that Brother Branham called God the all-seeing eye, and even said on our dollar bill at the top of the pyramid, it shows God is watching over everything. And he said they didn't know what they were doing when they did that. You see, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, the internet is, listen, the internet's probably got 80% false at least on it, maybe 90%, and a 10% glimmer of truth in it. And, you know, you got all the Illuminati bashers and everything else, you know, that are saying, well, you see, they put the all-seeing eye, that's a Masonic sign, or that's the sign of Illuminati, and blah, 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 blah. But Brother Branham said God, in his sovereignty, had them put that there to show that the capstone has got to come down. And the capstone came down in this nation over a vindicated prophet. Now, I want you to notice... Well, therefore, this morning, I'd like to take a rather simple sermon and show how God is omnipresent. We know that since God is a being, Brother Brown said he cannot be physically in all places at the same time. But since he is omniscient, which is all-knowing, he can be everywhere and anywhere he wants to be just by knowing all things. In other words, although physically he may not be there, yet he is there. Because you know, look, God made everything from one side of the galaxy to the other side. And there's trillions of galaxies. And God made them all. And God knows every single detail of every single nook and cranny, every shadow, every space. He said he knows every flea that ever would bat aside. He knew it before the foundations of the world. How many times it would bat aside? How many it would take to make a pound of tallow? God knows it all. And I remember in the 80s, it was really strange to hear out of one of the leading Baptist seminaries in America, they took a poll and they asked the would-be preachers, how many of you believe that God understands nuclear physics? And only 40% said God understood nuclear physics. Good grief. And they're preaching and leading the people? No wonder this nation is in the trouble that it's in. Therefore, this morning, I'd like to take, as I said, a rather simple sermon and show how that God is omnipresent. And we know that because he knows all things. Now, basically, just one statement, if you can understand, God is omniscient. And because God is omniscient, he knows. And therefore, he knows he doesn't have to physically be there to know what's going on. Now, there are some who would make an issue more than they should out of this. As though since God can only be in one place at one time, then he cannot be over here in this place and over here in this place at the same time. As though they have somehow have a claim on him and no one else can have the claim. Now that's the same kind of thinking that Rebecca Branham had at the age of 5. When she said, I've got all of daddy, you can't have any of him, I got him, to Sarah. Fortunately, Sarah had enough wisdom to say, or maybe it was the Holy Ghost speaking through her, because Brother Bram used it in a sermon. She was 3. And she said, yeah, but daddy has all of me. Now, I don't care if you think you got all of God. Does God have all of you? Because you're not going in a rapture unless God has all of you. You understand? All right. And by teaching that way, what they're actually doing is they want you to believe that God cannot be, say, over here in America because he's in their country. In other words, they want to lay claim to God. We've got God. The Muslims do the same thing. The Jews do the same thing. We've got God, no one else can. You're wrong. You're wrong. Personally, I don't see what their point really is. Seeing that God himself is invisible, and you wouldn't know by sight whether he's here or there or any other place for what it counts. But by making this a doctrinal issue, they're trying to make this idea of God being in only one place at any given time a truth that is more truth than truth itself. Now, in doing so, they're using a Bible truth to set themselves up as though they have something very special that we do not have, and thus they have God and no one else can have God. And to borrow Brother Vail's phraseology, that's hogwash. In other words, they'll say, see, God is here because we have this special truth. And that means God is here with us. And if he is here with us, he cannot be any other place. We have all of God and there is not enough for anyone else. Just like just like I mentioned about little Rebecca Branham. I've got all of daddy. You can't have daddy. And it shows the maturity, or rather the immaturity of statements like that. The real question that people should be asking is, if God is here, and he is not over, say, in the United States, then why are the miracles taking place in the United States and not over here? After all, Brother Brown preached a sermon, if God be here, then where are all the miracles? Now, don't believe doctrine for doctrine's sake. Brother Brown said, you have a right not to believe anything that is said unless God backs it up. Because God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. And in that sermon, he showed how, in that sermon, if God be here, then where are all the miracles? Brother Bram showed that how God is a supernatural being, and wherever God is, there is supernatural following him. You understand? Yes, God is a supernatural God. And wherever God's presence is, there are miracles. There are supernatural things taking place. So if your theology wants to limit God to one place, that's fine. I don't care what you do with your theology. But is it based on truth? You say, well, it's based on truth because we've got a vindicated prophet and we've got Brother Vail as our teacher. Well, let me tell you something. Then say it the way the vindicated prophet said and say it the way the teacher said. Amen? Now, if your theology wants to limit God to one place and based on the supernatural nature of God, he would have to be where the supernatural is taking place. Now, we would have more of a case to say God is here than he is over there. But I won't say that. I've seen God everywhere. So if any claim that they have God to themselves and therefore he can't be in any other place, then where is the supernatural taking place among them? And how could you deny John 14:12 and claim the supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your midst and claim to have God's presence among you? Amen. Listen. Brother Branham said, through John 14:12, God is in all of his children around the world, and therefore God is in Africa doing miracles at the same time he's in the U.S. doing miracles. Sure. No one has a right to claim God's presence is with them if there is no supernatural taking place among them. Now, from a vindicated prophet of God, William Branham, in a sermon, Why It Had to Be Shepherds, he said, there cannot be the presence of God without supernatural things happening. So the next time you hear someone say, God is here, he's not over in your place where you live, but God is over here. He's with us because we have the truth. Let me ask you one thing. Read him that quote from Brother Branham and say, Brother, that's fine, you can believe what you want, but what supernatural things are taking place? Not natural things, supernatural things. Of course, they'll say, well, we got revelation. Do you? The true understanding of revelation is manifestation of divine truth. Do you have the manifestation of divine truth? Because you can have mental intellect all you want, and that has nothing to do with God. Now, some of you have been around long enough, around here, to have been eyewitnesses to the supernatural presence of God moving among us in this church. And when we were in Kentucky, some of you were eyewitnesses to some of the supernatural events which took place back then, such as lightning striking the same tree 3 times. Oh, yeah. I'll explain to you that weren't here. We had voted as a church to move from Kentucky to Ohio. Then we began to pray and say, Lord, I really want to know, is this your will or not? If it's your will that we move from here to Ohio, show us some evidence that it's your will. Because I don't want to just go by feelings. I don't want to go by because I'm driving, you know, 45 miles each way to church. I didn't want nothing to do with that. I was willing to do it. We did it for 15 years. But I wanted to know, Lord, is it your truth? Is it what you want us to do? And that very Sunday, I finished preaching, and all of a sudden, the power went out. Well, we went to a restaurant I called Duke Energy. I think at the time it was CG&E. And they came out. I met them there. The guy went back. He went along. He found the transformer. And he said, lightning struck a tree here, and the branch fell, and it shorted out the transformer. Okay. But that wasn't, you know, that was just one event. So the next Wednesday, we come to church, and he had reset everything. I went in, checked it, lights were working. The next Wednesday, we come to church, and there's no power. No power. So I call CG&E, I wait, the guy comes out, checks again, he says, this might sound strange, but another branch was struck by lightning, and it shorted out your transformer again. So they reset everything, and we had power. Well, then we came back Wednesday, Sunday had service. The following Wednesday, and I noticed, I told the church Sunday, I said, God confirms things in 2 or 3. I said, we've had two confirmations. When there's a blackout, Brother Adams says, that's it. When the blackout came to New York, remember, he said, judgment. He said, when the Pope came to New York, there was blackout. He said, that's evidence. All right, so I said, that's it. God wants us to move. Well, we had a deacon in the church. His name was Dwayne Bach. And he stayed home from work the next Wednesday. And he prayed all day long. First in the morning, he went over to the church, checked. Everything was working fine. Power was working great. He prayed and fasted the entire day. And he said, Lord, if you want us to move, because I don't want to move. But if you want us to move, then when we come back for service, the power will be out again. And you know what happened? We came back for service. The power was out. We called CG&E. They came out. Three times lightning struck the same tree. Three times the power was put out. Three is a witness. Now, is that supernatural or is that just coincidence? If that were to be coincidence, then what's the odds? One in how many trillion? You see, I believe in a God who's a living being. And that I can communicate with him and he communicates with all of us. Well, further yet, if you recall, some of you, Michael, you were here, Helena. I don't remember, Derek, if you were here yet or not. And but we had a brother come into the church, and his name was Brother Cliff. Came hobbling in the back of the church. This is back in Kentucky. And at the end of service, I asked if there would be any that would have need of prayer. I thought the man basically had a cast on and he had crutches, and I thought basically, I mean, I couldn't tell if he had a cast or not because our pews were down the center. And you couldn't see their feet when they came in the door. And so I thought perhaps, you know, the man has sprained an ankle or something. I had no clue. And I asked if there would be anyone that had need of prayer. And he came hobbling up on his crutches. And I remember laying my hands on him and asking the Holy Spirit to... I asked him what his problem was. And he said he had gangrene in his leg, and that the doctors told him that on Monday they were going to cut his leg off. And come to find out, the story is that he had been working with his son tearing down a building in Dayton, Kentucky, I believe it was, and stepped on a screw, went through his boot. He was an older man, and he had diabetes, so he didn't have any feeling in his feet anyway. So he worked all day long with that screw going up into his heel, and by the time he got home, his son had to cut his boot off to get it off. The foot was swollen so much. They took him down to the Veterans Hospital because that's all he could afford. It was the Veterans Hospital, and he was a vet, so he was entitled to it. And they looked at it, and they started scraping and scraping, and they said, you have gangrene, and it's going up your leg, and we need to take your leg off as soon as we can, at least from the knee down. Maybe higher, we don't know. They cut off all the tissue, all three layers of skin. They cut off the muscles. They cut off the tendons. They scraped it down to the bone. Now, I know that because I saw it, and so did Sister Helena. She actually, after service and after I prayed for him, she says, why don't you come in the back room here? We had a library. We had a table. We put them up on the table. She said, when's the last time you had those bandages changed? He said, Friday. She goes, oh, you should be changed those twice a day. You know, she works in trauma, those kind of things, so she knows. So we brought him in, put him on the table, and I had a chance to look at it. I'd never seen gangrene before. It looked like green hamburger, basically. It looked the color green that you would see on a fly. You know, green fly, the green on the fly. It was rancid looking, putrid. Well, he went into the hospital on Monday, returned on Monday because he told them that he would. They didn't want to let him leave the hospital on Friday. He said, there's a minister I want to pray for me. He said, I promise you I'll come back. And on his word, because the physicians weren't in anyway on the weekend, so they said, Monday, we're going to take your leg off. So he comes back Monday, and they examined it, and the entire foot, God restored the entire foot. He had a 4 centimeter taken off the bottom of his foot. That grew back to where he just had a little scar the size of my little fingernail. on the bottom of his foot. And he carried that. God gave him 15 more years, just like Hezekiah. 15 more years of life. He went to his Pentecostal church and told them what happened. They said, God didn't heal you because it didn't happen in this church. He said, if God would have healed you, you wouldn't have had that scar on the bottom of your foot. And I told him, I said, you tell him, then God didn't raise Jesus from the dead, because when he came back from the dead, he had nail scars in his feet and in his hands. Supernatural, brother, sister, is evidence that God is with you. Now, some of you remember that we had 102 degrees temperature for 6 days. Several of the brothers and sisters in church who had been working on jobs had fainted on those jobs because of the extreme heat. Not a cloud in the sky. It was very, very brazen, very brassy sky. I felt sorry hearing those prayer requests that Sunday morning, so I just simply asked the congregation, can we bow our heads in prayer? And I asked my father, and I remember Brother Branham saying, you know, you've got to feel the infirmities of the people, or God, you know, what good is it to pray? He even said in one place that a little old woman, little sister, a little mother, had seen a woman come in to the meetings, and they were just a huge, huge auditorium. But she saw this little mother holding her baby, and this other mother whose children weren't with her, she felt sorry for the young woman. And she said, and God placed it on her heart to pray for that child. So it just kept coming. So she finally had to get off her chest. She went up to the woman. She says, listen, sister, she said, I'm a Christian. And she said, God has placed upon me a real burden to lay hands on your child. And she said, would you mind? And the sister said, no, that's fine. So she said, I'll give you my seat. She went, no, I don't need your seat, but that'll be fine. So she laid hands on that child, and then she gave her seat, and she went up to the balcony. She sat down. Well, this woman had a prayer card. And so she goes through the healing line with her child, and Brother Branham stops, and he said, well, your baby's healed. He said, and then Brother Branham tells the story to the whole congregation. He said, that woman way up there in the balcony, he said, God placed upon her heart, and God knew that she would have more compassion in her heart than I could, being that she was a mother. You understand? And so she laid her hands on that child. God healed that child. Now, I had compassion on the people because I loved all of you very much. And so I simply asked the people if we bow our heads in prayer. And I asked the Lord simply if he wouldn't mind changing the weather, the temperature, by 30 degrees. After service got out, we walked out. We went to a restaurant close by. Went in, ate, came out in about 45 minutes. Standing there with a few brothers, and I noticed in the sky, there wasn't a cloud except for one little cloud, like a little hand, a little black hand going across the sky. And it reminded me instantly of Elijah when he saw the little cloud, he called it the size of a man's fist. And he said, I hear the abundance of rain. And I told to the brothers, I said, something's about to happen. I said, remember Elijah? I said, remember the prayer? Something's about to happen. Well, Brother Michael and Sister Helena were looking to move down, so we had gone to Lowe's to just look for carpet. I don't like to buy. I don't like to do transactions on Sunday. But we went to Lowe's. We were standing in Lowe's. Actually, we went up to Middletown. We're in the Middletown Lowe's. Michael and I were looking at carpet, and all of a sudden, the lights went out everywhere, just black. And then all of a sudden, the reserve lights came back on. So I turned to Michael and said, Michael, something's happening outside. We walk out the front door, and as far to the left and as far to the right as you could see, which faces this direction, is as far to the west and as far to the east, you could see this huge cloud that was about maybe a mile high, and then the cloud above, the cloud itself was about a half a mile tall. It looked like a big bulldozer blade, just moving very quickly, and within minutes, it dropped from 100 degrees down to 70 degrees. And everybody in church that afternoon, the phone was just ringing off the line. Everybody said, you remember that prayer? I said, yes, I do. You see, these things should be common to us. not rare. Because if God's presence is here, then his supernatural is here because he is supernatural. So, how do we know that he's here? Because he's supernatural. God, he does supernatural things. The same things have taken place in Africa. They've taken place in South America just the year before. A year ago in December. We were down in Argentina. Same thing, 110 degrees down there. People were sweltering. It was just so hot. I didn't know how we'd make it through the service. I asked the Lord, I said, you remember up there in Kentucky? I said, I know you're not a respecter of persons, and you gave deliverance to your children there by lowering the temperature. Father, would you do the same thing tonight and show these people that your presence is still here? And we got out of service, and the winds begin to blow. The temperature dropped from 110 down to about 70 degrees. People started putting their jackets on. One sister came up. Her father was a pastor that had been healed of cancer in those meetings, or the meetings prior to that down there. And she came up. She said, Brother Brian, she said, when I heard your prayer, she said, I knew I didn't wear enough clothes to the service. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The entire church was witness to the man that was healed. The entire church was witness to God changing the weather. So we see many answered prayers where impossible things took place. Oh, I could tell you more and more. We had a sister, a little girl in the church was born, and her head, the three bones in the head hadn't come together. And the doctors told them if it didn't happen within a month, they were going to have to set it. They were quite worried, so we laid hands on the child. God healed the child instantly. When they went the next day, the bones had been set. Just story after story. Brother Howard had cancer in his lungs. God healed him of the cancer in his lungs. He came back 6 months later. He said, I couldn't get out of bed this morning. I said, Brother Howard, you have a tumor in your brain. And I know enough about the pressures in the brain to know that he had a tumor, not like I was discernment or anything. And so I laid these five fingers on his forehead, and I prayed for him, and I felt the same presence of God. And I said, Howard, God has healed you of your tumors. The life has gone out. But I said, those tumors are still there. Brother Bram instructed us in understanding about demonology. He said, the life goes out, but he said those tumors will have to be washed away by your blood system. And he said, so you may, in the next few weeks or months, you may have a few bouts of that again, but you are healed, brother. And I said, now, you can take God for your healing, or you can go to the doctor and let him pump you full of chemicals, chemotherapy, but I said, you'll be dead in 2 weeks. Sure enough, he went, and sure enough, 2 weeks later, he was dead. Now, Jesus Christ is alive, brother, sister. We need to trust him. You understand? So, we've seen many answered prayers. We've seen the impossible take place. Overseas, I've seen the same things take place, the impossible. God doing things that were just totally, totally impossible for man to do. So the question should be asked, has God been doing the same thing for these brothers who denied John 14:12? And the answer is, I don't think so. So then, where is God's presence? Where is his presence really? Now, I do not claim that we have all of God. I think that would be foolish to say. I get letters from brothers overseas that believe the same as we do. They believe John 14, everything exactly right down the line. And they're getting total miracles like we've seen. People with AIDS being healed completely. People in wheelchairs coming out. People that have been bedridden for weeks, in fact, for 2 years, coming out of their bed. So, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But just because his presence has been vindicated to be here among us, I still believe God's presence is wherever his word is believed and wherever the believers are taking a stand for his word. Now, from influence, Brother Brown said, God's omniscience knows what you're doing and even your thoughts. One time while I was in a vision, I was speaking to a being standing by me, And he said back, he said, your thoughts are louder in heaven than your voice is here on earth. Think about that. He knows what you're thinking. You might say, do this and do that, but you see, down in your heart, if you think different, you're doing something wrong. You should be just what you are. See, the mouth should speak what's in the heart, see? And so we find that people doesn't realize the presence of God. You know, they ought to be like David, the man that was after God's own heart. He said, the Lord is always before me. Wherever he goes, he remembers God is always before him. He is on my right hand and I'll not be moved because God is on his right hand. Now notice Brother Brown keeps bringing it back down to omniscience of God. He knows, period. God just knows. He knows, period, end of story. And I believe that God is with those who have his truth and who are living his truth. And he backs up those who have and are living his truth with his supernatural presence. From birth pains, Brother Brown said, divine healing is a minor in the gospel, and you can never major on a minor. Anyone knows that, but it's a bait that's used to get the people to believe in the supernatural presence of God. You see, a lot of people are preaching parousia. They're preaching presence, but they're leaving out the supernatural part. Presence in doctrine, but not presence by a living, breathing, supernatural presence. He said the supernatural is present. And then by that, if they can recognize his presence, then they are healed, see, by faith in believing it. So if your camp does not believe in John 14:12 and the supernatural presence of God, then you're in the wrong camp. And that's what Brother Brown said. In fact, he said you've got to go beyond the camp to find God in his supernatural presence. And we did. I left the camp that I was in and came out of the camp, going beyond the camp, as Brother Branham's sermon entitled, Going Beyond the Camp, to find a supernatural God. He said, if you ever leave the camp of your own reason, that's the place you'll find God. Notice, as they went out into the wilderness, there were miracles and signs when they moved into this camp. Now remember, they left Egypt's camp and they moved out into the wilderness with God's camp. How do you know it was? God said, you people shall sojourn for 400 years, but I'll bring them out with a mighty hand, and I'll give them this land here. And they were on the road by a vindicated light, a vindicated prophet with signs, wonders, that God was in the camp. And they were on the road. They had a pillar of fire, they had a prophet, they had manna, they had living waters. Amen. They had changed campgrounds, they had to do it. They had to do it. They couldn't see those things in Egypt. They had to change a campground in order to see the supernatural. So will the people of this day have to change the camp from them denominations that say the days of miracles is past. Isn't it strange that we have in this message people that actually came out of denomination, came into the message where the pillar of fire was leading, the pillar of fire, just like it was in the days of Noah, of Moses, and they turned back. And they've turned back. And they don't believe the same supernatural that drew them out of denomination. They turned back away from the supernatural God. And it's become doctrine to them. They had changed campgrounds. They had to do it. They couldn't see those things in Egypt. They had to change the campground in order to see the supernatural. So will the people of this day have to change the camp from them denominations that say the days of miracles is past. There's no such a thing as a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And all these scriptures are wrong. And they were for another age. And you'll have to change your campgrounds. Go beyond that camp to where all things are possible. All of them was vindicating his presence in the camp. And from if God be with us, and the entire sermon is actually called If God Be With Us, Then Where Are All the Miracles? Brother Brown said, God is a supernatural being, and wherever a supernatural being is, he'll do supernatural signs. Because the supernatural is with him. You just can't get out of it. How can you stand in the face of wind without having wind blowing? How can you get in water without being wet? Water is wet. That's the chemical of it. It's wet. And when you get in water, you're going to get wet, right? And when you get in the presence of God, the supernatural, there's going to be supernatural signs and supernatural workings of a supernatural God. Now, don't tell me you got wet if you didn't step in the water. Unless you wet your pants. Come on. Don't tell me that you're in the presence of God if there's not supernatural happening. You're in the presence of the God of your imagination. So now I ask the question to everyone in this message who belongs to any camp in this message. If God is in your camp, then where are all the signs of his supernatural presence in your camp? Now getting back to our topic tonight, and that is the omnipresence of God. Brother Bram says in his sermon, what is the attraction on the mountain? He said, remember, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Now don't stop right there. So down in Texas or over in California, up in Arizona, wherever you are, lay hands on those that are sick when we start praying for the sick, and I'm sure that God will hear and answer your prayer. In other words, I am in Jeffersonville. Mm-hmm. You're on the hookup. Mm-hmm. I am praying for the sick here in Jeffersonville, but God is also in Texas where you're listening. God is also in California. He's also in Arizona where you're listening. Now, don't forget he is everywhere because he knows all things. God is not everywhere as the Hindus believe. Breathe in. You just breathe in God. Breathe out. You just exhale God. Breathe in. You just breathe in God. Breathe out. You just exhale God. That's what the Hindus believe, and that's hogwash. God is not everywhere physically. But he is everywhere by omniscience. God is a person, and as a person, his being cannot be in all places at all times. Otherwise, he would fill the eternal spaces of the trillions of galaxies, and then his form would not be as the form of a man. You can't stretch a man out to be the size of a galaxy. His form would be like the wind, which has no form, or more so. No, as a person, he has set limits for himself, but as an omniscient mind, he knows all things, and therefore on the merits of his omniscience, he can be in all places because he created all places, and he knows all places, every detail to the nth degree, to the nth power. Now, from the message, who is this Melchizedek? Brother Bram said, and if he isn't infinite, he isn't God. God has to be infinite. We are finite. He's infinite. And he was omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. And if he isn't, then he can't be God. He knows all things, all places, because of his omnipresence. Omniscient makes him omnipresent. That one statement alone ought to hit it right there. He is a being. He's not like the wind. He's a being, he dwells in a house, but being omniscient, he knows all things, and it makes him omnipresent because he knows everything that's going on. There can't be a flea bat aside that what he noted. And he noted it before there was a world, and how many times that it would bat aside, how much tallow it had in it, before there was ever a world. Now that is infinite. We can't comprehend it in our minds, but that's God. He is infinite. Now I think that is about the best quote we have from Brother Branham concerning how that God can be in all places at all times, even though he restricts his physical presence because he is a spirit being. But because he knows all things and he has known all things before those things even took place, he knows where, when, what duration, and everything about it. He knows it by being omniscient. So whether he is actually physically here or there, it makes no difference with God. As Brother Branham said, when Jesus was crucified, when he was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world, how many hundreds and millions of years that was before he was actually slain in the physical flesh in Gethsemane, he said that was just as real to God then as it was here. And Brother Vail reads the same quote in one of his sermons, and he makes a comment that I really, really like. Now let's read it. Because this is where the brothers are missing the boat. I'll read it, and I want you to note what Brother Vail says here. I'll have to place Brother Ram's words in blue, bold, and Brother Vail's in black, like mine, but italicized so you can see he's reading from Brother Ram's sermon, because it's the same quote I just got done reading for you. Now, Brother Vail says, from things that are to be, living oracles, he says, in other words, Brother Branham is saying omniscience. Knowledge is part of omniscience. That's the whole thing. See, he's omnipresent because he's omniscient. Now, that's true there, but it doesn't go far enough. Omniscient because he's omnipresent, therefore by his foreknowledge, now he breaks it up. Now, he can't be just like the wind over the earth because he is a being. He isn't just a myth, he's a being. In other words, this is not pantheism, Brother Vail says. He dwells, he's reading for Brother Bram, he dwells, even dwells in a house, he dwells in a place called heaven, and therefore his being omniscient, knowing all things, then he is omnipresent because he knows all things. He's still quoting Brother Branham here. And what he actually says in another place is the truth. He is omnipresent because he's both omniscient and omnipotent. So therefore, it is needless to be omnipresent. And I'd like to say that for the brothers that are making a big issue of it. It's needless for God to be actually omnipresent physically. As the Presbyterian Church defined it so beautifully, God is not omnipresent, but all things are present to him. Or, as Brother Vail rewords it, God is not present to all things, but all things are present to him. So therefore, that is omnipresence. In other words, those in hell are out from his presence, right? Cain walked out from the presence of God, but God knew every detail of what Cain was up to. The point is, there are three things: omniscience, omnipotence, and love. Without that love, that nature, forget the other two. You can be Joe Stalin, Hitler, or a devil, but when you're love, you've got no worry. Now that's the thing right there that amazes us all, because God is love and God is Holy Spirit. So therefore the Holy Spirit is that spirit of love, and he comes through the channels of the Word. Now that to me is beautiful. Now, and I wouldn't mind if those brothers who quote Brother Vail, I wouldn't mind them quoting him, if only they would quote all that he said on any given subject, but they don't. They leave out the most important pieces of what he says, and that is that omnipotence and omniscience would be disastrous if God wasn't also love. And if they were teaching it like Brother Branham taught it, or like Brother Lee taught it, they would not be making statements where they add to it and say things like, God can't be in America because he's here. Brother Branham never said that. Brother Vail never said that. So why are they saying it? I'll tell you why they're saying it. They're trying to hold on to the group they've got. They're using fear like the Catholic Church. That's a Nicolaitan spirit. Use fear, hold the people to yourself. Therefore, if you can show them or teach them that God is nowhere else but he's here, the people want to hang around. That's all that's being done. Brother Vail never taught it. Brother Branham never taught it, but they are teaching it and claiming they're following Brother Vail. They're not following Brother Vail, and they're not following Brother Branham. You never find Brother Branham saying that. You never find Brother Vail saying that. You never find Brother Branham saying, God is only with my ministry. He's not with any other ministry. No, Brother Branham encouraged Oral Roberts. He encouraged AAL, and he encouraged all of those ministries that got their start from his. But he encouraged those brothers to take the word and lay hold of the word and live that word. Now, from his sermon Harvest Time, Brother Branham said, now you see, God scattered his word out because he could. He's infinite and he's omnipresent, omniscient. Therefore, he knows all things. He can't be present everywhere, but by being omniscient, knowing all things, then he can be present everywhere. So here he says he can't be present everywhere physically, but by being omniscient, he can be present everywhere. So God can be present right here. He can see what you're doing right now. He can also be present over in Germany or Poland or wherever. And he can see what they're doing. You understand? God is God. We try to limit God by our finite ability. I've always said, just to make it simple, If I'm standing on top of the roof up there on the outside, and I can see you brothers on this side, and I can see you brothers on this side, I can be in fellowship, and I'm in your presence, both sides, but you're not in each other's presence. And God lives in a higher dimension, and he can be in all of our presence at the same time by being in that higher dimension. Now, don't ask me to scientifically prove it, because I have no clue where to go with it. I'm not a scientist. God didn't make me a scientist. He made me a preacher. Now, I hope you caught what Brother Branham said here. Although God cannot physically be present everywhere, yet because of his omniscience, he can be present everywhere. Therefore, I like his definition. God is not... I like the definition that Brother Vail brought out here. He said, God is not present to all things, but all things are present to him. So therefore, that is omnipresence. And that's what he said. Because this really brings it all into omniscience. All things are present to him. Because he knows all things, and if they would teach it like he said it, I would amen everything that they're teaching if they're saying it the same way, the same thing. But they're not. Now back to Brother Branham. Therefore, by his foreknowledge, he can predestinate, and he makes everything work together for his glory. That's what his attributes are doing, displaying to his glory one vessel of honor and one of dishonor, but it's God that maketh it. Not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. From the masterpiece, he said, now you cannot be omnipresent without being omniscient. God's not even omnipresent, God's omniscient. Omniscient, which makes him omnipresent, he knows all things. But in order to be a being, he has to be in one being. But being omniscient, he can be omnipresent because he knows all things. And he knowed it before, and he knowed before the world began how many fleas, lice, many bugs, and how many times they'd bat their eye and everything else, everything about it, see, because he's omnipresent. And you can't be omniscient without being infinite. See, there's only one thing infinite, and that's God. Amen. And again, from We Would See Jesus, he said, God was in one man, Christ Jesus. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, when that pillar of fire came down at Pentecost, you notice tongues of fire set upon each of them. Before they begin to speak with tongues, there was tongues of fire. That was God separating himself from the pillar of fire into each member of his church. God separating himself so that he could universally all over everywhere at one time. Right now, healing meetings is going on in Africa. Who's doing it? God's doing it. God has to be there to do the healing, brother, sister. Jesus said, I do nothing but what the Father shows me first. The Father heals, the sons follow. They heal. The lames are walking, the blinds are seeing, all around the world, the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ in individuals, men who's living and serving him. God separated himself and placed himself out among, that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, a little while in the world, cosmos there, the world order, will see me no more, yet ye, the church, shall see me, for I is a personal pronoun. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. That's right. I will be with you. See, the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be with you. The works that I do shall you do also. Now, I suppose those who believe that God can only be in one place and not anywhere else don't believe in John 14:12 either. Because if you believe in John 14:12, then you believe that God can be doing works in his church in Africa, at the same time God is doing them in the USA, or God is doing them in Canada, or God is doing them in Europe. And if you believe like I do concerning John 14:12, that it's for all believers, then you'll have to agree that God is working all over the world in his church. And not only does the works of Christ bring his presence, but preaching the word will do so also. As long as it is being preached in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And remember, to preach means to have the power and demonstration of the Spirit along with it. Brother Bram said, from approach to God, he said, and the Holy Spirit is ordained in the church as symbols. Apostles, teachers, evangelists, gifts of healing, miracles, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, signs and wonders to accompany the church as it goes along for your article, divine things, something to represent that the divine forgiveness, the Holy Spirit is present, which came out of the very life of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. His presence is here. The preaching of the word brings his presence. The working of miracles brings his presence. So notice, apostles, teachers, evangelists, pastors, they're gifts. They're something God uses to show God. You see? It's all about him. It's not about us. From led by the Spirit, Paul says, the gospel comes not to us in word only, but through power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. When he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he also said, demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost in all the world. Amen. Yes, sir. It never come to us through word only. The word's got to be quickened and made alive in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. I said, then if you call that the greater things, surely you can do the lesser things. Go heal the sick, pray for the sick, cast out devils, do those kind of works. And Jesus said, the things that I do, shall you do also. And if you'll do them, he will do them. The things that I do, shall you do also, and greater than this, for I go to my Father. To be greater would be more of. Isn't that wonderful? Now, in fact, we have many promises in the Bible, such as Philippians 2:13, which says, for it is God which worketh in you. Brother Don, is God working in you? God, he said, it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So if God can only be, let's say, in Germany, and he can't be in the U.S., then God cannot be working in you. He can't be. He's over there. So how can God be in you, Brother Justin? Working in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Because he's over there. You understand? Now, who does it say is working in you? God. It says God is working in you, right? So are we supposed to believe that God is not working in us? Because if God is only in one country overseas, then he can't be working in you right here in America or down in Africa. Now, do you see how dangerous this doctrine is? It says that God can only be in this country, but not in this country. That means that the God can't do anything. He's bound by the fact that he can only be in one place at one time. And yet, Brother Brown said, what unbinds him is his omniscience. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which began the good work in you, will perform it, will work it out until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, either God is working in you or he's not working in you. And if you say, well, how could he be working in you if he's working over here? You don't know God. You just don't know God. The Apostle Paul tells in Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's only good in Germany. It's not good in America. You see where that kind of thinking takes you? It throws God out altogether and it makes everything you in your mind. Now, does that mean that there's only a hope of glory for those who think God is in their own country? Because they believe that if Christ is in their country, he can't be in the U.S. or Africa at the same time that he's in their country? And are we not promised that God's presence, his parousia, will be universal? Luke 17:24, Jesus himself said, for as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. The same lightning that you see way over here in the western sky, in the eastern sky, they can see it too. Matthew 24:27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the parousia, the presence of the Son of Man, be. So how you can claim that you're the only one that has lightning? I see lightning. Nobody else sees it but me. Excuse me? They're seeing it from the east to the west. How can these brothers teach that these scriptures concerning the parousia, which is universal, if in fact, as they believe, God is limited as to being in one place, their country, and therefore God cannot be in the USA? So I guess according to their understanding, we in America are missing the parousia of Christ because we're not in their country. And I would like to ask this question. What evidence do they have that God is even in their country? If God is in their country, then where are all the miracles in their country? And we read in God's word certain promises that were given concerning his presence, wherein he said, and I'll tell you where, because Brother Brown says there'd be one out of every country at least. Probably the little old washwoman who's so insignificant to them because she's not in their higher order of thinking, and she's out there and she's doing the will of God. And God is doing supernatural in her life 24/7. You know, like I said a couple weeks ago, last week, we try to say, well, the man is something, you know, like the Muslims, you know, the woman's got to walk behind, she's got to wear the burqa, you know, all this stuff. And we've got that right in this message, men looking down on women. But it wasn't a man who was down to his last portion of meal and offered it to the prophet. It was a woman, sisters. She gave everything she had. The meal, the oil, and God gave back to her abundantly. He didn't give it to the king. He didn't give it to the princes. He didn't give it to the high theologians. He didn't give it to the other prophets. He didn't give it to the school of prophets. He didn't give it to all the priests. He gave it to the little washwoman. I hope some of you sisters are that little washwoman. In Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. So we might as well stop our singing in the U.S. because according to them, God's presence isn't here. Psalm 95 and 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. In fact, the scripture says that our fullness of joy comes from the presence of the Lord. So I guess we don't have and can't have the fullness of joy because according to them, they've got God and we don't. Well, let me tell you something. My heart is full of joy from the presence of God. In 1 Chronicles 16:27, glory and honor are in his presence, strength and gladness are in his place. And since glory and honor are in his presence, and according to their doctrine, God is only in their country, therefore glory and honor can only be found in their country. And you know that doctrine seems to be a little bit of self-adulation and self-aggrandizement, don't you think? But what it comes down to is this. Some men are ordained to handle the holy fire of God. They are incapable. Some men are not ordained to handle it. Some are. Some are not capable of understanding it and therefore should not place themselves in a position of leadership because they end up being blind leaders of the blind. And the Word of God is not a toy to play with. It is not a book of riddles to try to figure out. It is God's purpose and plan that he has for all of his children, no matter what country they might live in and what color of their skin and hair or eyes that they might have. Like in Ferguson, that wasn't an issue of skin. That was an issue of sin. It's the sin issue, not the skin issue. The problem is that men try to figure out the Word of God and the mind is incapable of doing so. God reveals to us by His Spirit, and unless you have His Spirit, you are incapable of understanding the Word of God. From uncertain sound, Brother Ram said, now notice, close now, I want you to pay close attention, put a lie detector on you, and you try to impersonate that truth and try to say that it's truth, but down in the inside of you, in the subconscious, it lays a place called the soul, and this intellectual mind does not govern that vibration of the system. The mind is only a director. It will direct you, and it's very incapable of bringing you to God, your mind. You cannot know God by your mind, intellectual. It's one of the resources or the channels that would lead to it, but your soul is what governs you. You are what you are by your soul. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, why you hypocrites? How can you speak of good things? When they was calling him good master and so forth, but out of the abundance of the heart speaketh the lips. And in your heart you hate me. And in your lips you call me good master. He said, you hypocrites. See, your soul is thinking one thing and you're speaking with the lips another thing. What a case. What a horrible thing. What a deceitful thing it is to be a hypocrite. For out of their mind they say one thing, then their soul says another thing. Now I know where these brothers are coming from. They're trying to teach that God is a being. And I agree, God is a being. I do not have a problem with that. But you see where they take it, with statements like God can only be in this country and not in that country because he can't be in two places at one time. It shows there's a motive that's wrong. When a vindicated prophet says that God physically cannot be in two places, but by knowing all things, he can be in two places. Then, in essence, God can be in two places. God can be omnipresent because of his omniscience. Leave it at that. You see? And their motives and objectives is to get you to look to them for truth when they don't have it. They use truth to create error in men's thinking. You just say it like the prophet said it and say only what the prophet said. He said because God is omniscient, he can be omnipresent. Omniscience makes him omnipresent. He is a being. He's not like the wind. He is a being. He dwells in a house, but he's omniscient. Knowing all things makes him omnipresent because he knows everything that's going on. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:8, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. We commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, don't preach me a sermon, live me a sermon. And don't use the word of God for your own personal gain. Don't handle the word of God with deceit in your heart. Use craftiness and dishonesty, for we have renounced that kind of behavior, and we live our lives as an open book, and our lives manifest the truth, so there is no second guessing our motive. You know, I've got a little cup that Brother Michael and Sister Helena gave me years ago. A little saying on it by Francis Assisi. He said, let me just get it. Preach the gospel at all times. And if necessary, use words. You see that? If we could all live according to that. And that is what the Word of God is all about. It's not about building camps. It's not about holding people to you, to your opinion. It's not about creating a kingdom here on earth. It's not about us. It's about him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we don't come here, Lord. We don't come here, Father, to be seen. We don't come here, Father, to build up ourselves in a certain way. But Father, we come for you. It's about you. We come to let you know that we worship you in spirit and in truth. It's not about, Father, what we can do to add to you, because we can't do anything to add to you. But we can. Our praise doesn't add to you, but our praise helps us to know our place. Our thanksgiving doesn't add to you, Father, but our thanksgiving shows our appreciation for the things that you have done. For you, Father, as Paul said, are our life and our breath. For we are your children. We are your offspring. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you for being with us this day. And help us, Lord, to know that we are never out of your sight. You might be out of our sight, but we know that we're never out of your sight. And we're thankful for that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Reminds me of little Silas. You know, he's kind of a little man to himself, and he likes to run off, but he runs off, but he always checks back to see if you're watching. That's what we should do, brother, sister. Always check back to see if your father is watching you. Amen. Well, God bless you all. And let's just sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed.